Hello and welcome to the Beauty Talk podcast. I'm your host, Letitia Bishop. Thank you for coming back and listening to another episode. If you like learning all things beauty, please consider subscribing to the show and come say hi on Instagram. Today's guest is Lawrence Tredray, passionate about educating people to live healthy. He studied two separate degrees in Australia, that would be nutrition and naturopathy. Alongside integrative and evidence-based naturopathic medicine, Lawrence believes in creating healthy eating habits is a medicine in itself. He's worked with chefs to educate and oversee recipe development using healthier ingredient alternatives. He's now working here at Thrive Wellness in central Hong Kong alongside integrative medical doctors to support clients with their deficiencies and health goals with nutrition and naturopathy. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's so exciting.
Yeah. It's your first podcast, right?
This is my first podcast. So super keen. Good. I'll talk into the microphone.
Yeah, we'll do all the podcast checklist things. Yeah. So firstly, I think a lot of people know what a nutritionalist is. Mm-hmm. It would be great if you could expand on what a naturopath is and the practice of naturopathy.
Yeah, sure. So again, yes, I get asked that question, what is a naturopath or what is naturopathy, all the time, especially in social settings when everyone always asks, what do you do for a living?
Do you do? Yeah.
So I am used to telling people, but yeah. Naturopathy does actually cover like nutraceutical medicine and diet advice. So that nutrition aspect of being a nutritionist is mostly covered in the curriculum as well. Originally, I was thinking of being a dietitian, but I went down a different pathway. So I did do two separate degrees, one in nutrition and one in naturopathy. Naturopathy is a little bit more food as medicine, herbal medicine, nutraceuticals. We take diet lifestyle into consideration with someone's health as well. We do a lot of laboratory testing, like conventional and functional testing labs, like bloods and stool and things, to help our patients with their health. Very similarly, when you have an appointment with your healthcare provider, we go through like an in-depth health history, and we really try and find the root cause of someone's illness and not just chuck a band-aid on it to try and cover the symptoms, but really try and support you overcome that burden of whatever is blocking your journey to health.
Yeah,
and
so
we cover
important.
Yeah, many different conditions.
Cool. Okay, so it's a bit more in depth than a nutritionist, where in a sense you get lab results and you mm-hmm. read them and you look at the tests of each individual, so more individualized as well.
And some people do just want diet advice, so we can go through, you know, their calorie intake, their macronutrient intake, and try and support them. Potentially, you know, that comes in hand with maybe weight loss patients or just trying to be a little bit more healthy. We can go through just their regular diet anyways and make some changes just to make it a little bit more healthy.
Just by verbal feedback of what they're telling you they do in their life, and you can offer some adjustments.
Yes, exactly. But try and tweak things for achievable goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the real help is seeing the lab work, the results, right?
Yeah. And that's the other way. Some people think, no, I want to see it on paper. They want like quantitative numbers, like seeing a difference from beginning to end. So of course, you know, even sometimes when you want to prescribe supplements, like, is someone vitamin D deficient? Like, does that person really need it or not? So that's where labs are, you know, very beneficial, and they're great. They do cost a lot of money sometimes. So, you know, we've got to take that into consideration with people.
Definitely.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So guys, that's what a naturopath is, if you were wondering.
Yes.
So I wanted to chat today as a vegetarian, which I know has a lot of other positive health benefits, but sometimes I feel like potentially I'm missing out on not being able to take all the collagen supplements that are out on the beauty scene and the health and wellness scene. So I pose to you the question, what we can do to get more collagen or support our natural collagen growth as a vegetarian or as a vegan, and mm-hmm. can we do it? Is it possible? that's what we're gonna chat about today.
Yes. Cool. Yeah. So let's delve into it.
Yes.
So basically, yes, what is collagen? So in our diet, we do have all of our macronutrients. So we have our carbohydrates, fats, and protein. And there's many different types of carbs, fats, protein that are used for different things. When it comes to protein, we have the amino acids, which are like the building blocks or the Lego pieces that our body uses to create like whole structures and proteins that are to help function in the body. So not only does our body need the amino acids to build those protein structures, it also needs what we call cofactors, which are things like vitamins and minerals that actually help those amino acids as well to build properly. So also in our diet, we get certain things from certain sources. So for example, we get a lot of fiber from plants, but we don't get fiber from animals. It doesn't exist from animal sources.
Okay.
Similarly with collagen, it's only from animal sources, mm-hmm. not from plant sources. So if you are a vegetarian or vegan, there isn't a way for you to get that in your body. But you don't have to worry, because there are things that you can do to help produce your collagen.
One second, the things you were just saying before about yeah. those amino acids and then the other nutrients and micro
yeah.
things that build up the protein. Is collagen one of those things? Is that no. a separate thing?
So collagen is like the end result of what the body is building.
Of what that thing yeah. is it's building.
So the body needs certain things along with these amino acids, which are like the little Lego pieces that you would put together to build it.
To build the whole collagen
yeah.
bit.
It's like, for example, you might have the nail, but you need the hammer to pound it into the mm-hmm, wood. So mm-hmm. the hammer is like the all cofactors.
The all those other help. Things you were just mentioning.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Cool. So also, technically, what is collagen? Collagen is a protein structure mainly found in our skin and joints, in our muscles as well. That's also why it's really just found in animal sources, because that's what it's for. But the collagen...
Plants and vegetables don't need collagen.
No. Yeah, that's different. Where they have different structures.
Yeah.
But fiber is also very good for you for other things, but different. So collagen... Basically, why it gets a lot of like a good reputation in the beauty world is because of the skin benefits. So you can take collagen supplements for your skin, but it basically helps keep your skin plump, elastic, wrinkle-free. So that's why normally, you know, youthful, younger people have a lot of like plump, less wrinkles, because mm-hmm. they do have more collagen or abundance to create collagen. As we age and there's a bit more inflammation and oxidative stress, there's a burden on the body, like it can't always build as much and keep going, so then things like wrinkles do appear, and that's where sometimes the collagen will decrease with age, essentially. That's why we get more wrinkles as we get older.
A good analogy I've heard is that it's like scaffolding.
Yes.
For also, skin.
Yeah, it is like a scaffold under the skin yeah. that helps keep it up, keep it strong, keep yeah, it elastic. Yeah,
I think that's a helpful analogy. We were just speaking before we started, that us non-medical science-y people, we need analogies. Yes, it's what helps us.
We love analogies.
We love analogies.
But yeah, no, they're great.
Yeah, so that's what collagen is, basically. Yeah.
Yes, that's what collagen is. So if you are a vegetarian or vegan, there's definitely things that we can do. Like I said, we naturally do produce it anyways. However, you can supplement, but if you can't supplement, then you can take the things that are going to support your body to produce it. Not only this, we'll talk a little bit about in general, just keeping your skin healthy,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there is a huge amount of people that, you know, we want to look like we have nice skin and we want to keep our skin healthy.
That's why we're here. It's a beauty podcast, exactly. Right?
But our skin's also a reflection kind of what's going in.
100% is really, yeah. You can see how healthy someone is almost from the skin. Yeah. Unless, you know, us girls can cover it up a bit. We wear makeup.
Yes. But there's also, you know, a part of when we investigate, when we're talking with our clients, like what is the skin quality like in general? So we can get a bit of a picture of like maybe what's going on inside.
Yeah, definitely.
So maybe there's a few tips, about 7 tips that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing in general to like help support your skin is hydration. So again, when we're talking about having plump skin, we really need hydration in there as well to also help with the actual structure of the skin as well.
Mm.
So just drinking enough water, potentially drinking like green juices as well, is really great for you. And number 2, like I said, something that will decrease our collagen is because of inflammation and oxidative stress. So we really want to make sure we're having a like antioxidant rich diet and taking antioxidants. A huge one for this is vitamin C.
Mm.
Because vitamin C is already used for collagen production, but it's also an antioxidant. So if the body's using vitamin C to fight off oxidative stress and inflammation, then there's potentially not enough of it to help produce the collagen, and that's where we can get the diminishing effects. Mm-hmm. And then we have other antioxidants as well, like vitamin E, And then obviously from our diet, just eating like lots of bright, colorful fruits and veggies, it's usually a good sign that there's antioxidants in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have herbs as well. So something that naturopaths would use is herbal medicine. So there's really good ones that are potentially specific for the skin, specific for inflammation, or ones that are going to help move things out of the body so that there's a less of a toxic load in the body.
Mm. So the eating more antioxidants is to combat the effects of inflammation that mm-hmm. then kill our collagen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's one thing that obviously, yeah, we want to like give our bodies the thing that needs to produce collagen, but if something's stripping it at the same time, then
it's depleting and exactly. it's not
it's an uphill battle.
An uphill battle, that's a good analogy.
Yeah, exactly. So another thing that increases our aging is stress, and I think a lot of people are stressed.
Yeah.
Specifically in Hong Kong, but you know, worldwide as well.
Oh, in Hong Kong, it's just it's like a movie right now.
Yeah.
They're killing hamsters, guys.
They are.
They're killing hamsters.
Which is very sad.
Well, I'm not even joking. It's not funny. But it is kind of. But yeah, that's another topic. But they're killing hamsters.
There'll be another podcast on that later.
Because of COVID.
Yes.
Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, so unfortunately, yes, stress is something that will increase our signs of aging. But when we're stressed, our adrenal glands really require a lot of vitamin C to deal with that stress that happens. But again, because of the fact that vitamin C is used for collagen, if we're constantly stressed and we're depleting our vitamin C, then that can affect our skin, which is already, you know, a sign of aging. So it is really important that we do cope with our stress and find strategies that are anti-stress for us. Interestingly as well, when we are stressed, our body actually increases the absorption of vitamin C. It's almost like a defense mechanism where it knows like we need more. So people can absorb a bit more vitamin C in stressful times.
So if you are stressed and you can't do much about it, look at that as a sign as take your vitamin C tablets as well. You might as well if you're already stressed.
Exactly.
Okay, there's a little upside to being stressed.
It's really
going to
help. And because most of the vitamin C supplements are water soluble, if you do take too much, there's not really any bad side effects.
Yeah,
you just pee it out.
You can't help. Yeah, it won't hurt. Okay.
Yeah, the body is very good. It's a very tightly regulated absorption of vitamin C.
And I think I've been told vitamin C, it doesn't last super long, only a few hours in the body anyway. So
yeah. It's about 2 hours from when you supplement to it being back to normal levels. So if you do want to try and increase your vitamin C orally, you take like a 500 milligram to a gram dose every 2 hours.
Wow.
It's kind of the best way to
get your
keep
vitamin
your levels
C.
up constantly.
Is it better to take it with or without food, or it doesn't actually matter?
It doesn't really matter too
the
much.
The body can handle it either way.
Yeah. And it's not something that will make you feel nauseous if you take it on an empty stomach.
Yeah.
It's quite gentle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then something that we had mentioned before about collagen, it is a protein and it is made from the amino acids that build up our protein. So as a vegetarian, it is quite important that you monitor your protein intake and make sure that you do have enough per day. There are a lot of vegetarian, vegan options for protein intake. It's definitely not all found in meat. And there's a lot of supplements like protein powders. If you do want to have a boost in your protein levels, smoothies are very easy to have in the morning and you can mix it in with like your blueberries and spinach and other things that then support the protein as well. Like you're getting your fiber and antioxidants and nutrients and things that will all support your body. So it can be a cool, healthy habit.
I've been making sure I have my chocolate protein powder every morning.
Yeah.
It's a, I think it's a pea-based protein with a little bit of soy.
Yeah.
And I also put a scoop of like a green powder in with it, which is like a berry flavor, which is
nice.
Makes it actually quite tasty, really, because protein powder can be a little odd tasting. And then with a scoop of the greens powder, that's slightly sweet. There's only 1 gram of sugar in this one, but it tastes good.
Yeah, good.
And
That would be my recommendation is, do find one that's low sugar. Sometimes you can find one with stevia. Mm. And don't give up. If you do try one and it's a bit gross, just try another one.
The next
there's
one,
some that are not that nice, but there's others that are definitely really nice.
I can link my favorite one down below. It's from iHerb.
Okay. Nice. Yes, we'll do some recommendations.
Yeah, easy.
That's protein. And then something that is not really diet related, but something that's very good for the skin is like what we call low level laser light therapy. So that's red light therapy, blue light therapy. And I think, you know, it's very popular in the beauty world now as well. You have your masks and it kind of changes color, but there is good research for that to support your skin in general. So the red light therapy is maybe a little bit more healing, where it can actually help maybe produce the collagen and give you better appearing skin. And then, if that's a word. Then the blue light actually seems to be a little bit more like antibacterial. So it can be quite good for if you have like acne symptoms, because it can help kill off the bacteria that might cause acne.
Yeah.
So something that is safe and effective for vegans and vegetarians is some light therapy.
Exactly. So you can have a look at that. That is a really good one, because you can do that. If you get a home device, you can do that quite frequently. Yeah, I know the red is very calming, so it's reducing the inflammation. So that will help your body have the space to create the more collagen when it's not dealing with the inflammation. And I think they have red light and then near infrared light as well. Yeah. And that's the really deep.
Yeah, they're both good. And the near penetrates a little bit deeper into the skin. Yeah. So it's a little bit more therapeutic.
Yeah, I must... get myself one of those.
Exactly.
For home.
And then something that you could potentially do, maybe both, is an infrared sauna, because you get a little bit of that in there as well if you want to like maybe kill two birds with one stone, or don't kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, no killing birds, because we're vegetarians and vegans on this podcast.
We need to find a new quote for that.
A new analogy for that.
But yeah, so in general, the next tip is more like physical exercise and sauna. Because this does help increase blood flow and lymphatic flow in the skin. So one thing we want is obviously to bring in new oxygen, new nutrients to the skin to support it with what it needs. But also at the same time, by bringing the blood flow, it will help to remove the toxins from the skin as well. And then in general as well, it will help the liver to detoxify and remove what it needs to move. Similarly with the lymphatic system, if we're sweating, we can help to remove some toxins through the skin. And then it just helps clean out the skin essentially. So exercise and sauna are a good tip just for overall skin quality.
Definitely.
Collagen specific.
Yeah. Skin health. Yeah. Exercise is fantastic for that. I always recommend it.
Exactly. It's great. And there's many other health things that you're going to get from these tips as well. So it's good just to
definitely
take them into consideration.
Yeah.
And then the next tip is topical skincare. So sometimes you might find it a little bit difficult to really know which serum has what and if the thing in it is good. So just to keep it simple, is just some maybe like plant-based oils that are already naturally high in plant chemicals, which are beneficial, and nutrients that are good for the skin. So again, we talked about vitamin C, and vitamin C being water soluble and it's flushing out. So if you are trying to look for a skincare product, you may not know if it's actually like a fat soluble form of vitamin C and actually penetrate and get into the skin. That's why it might be nice just to take the guesswork out and use a plant-based oil. So something like rosehip, jojoba oil, calendula, carrot seed oil, they all are high in vitamin C. You can add that into your moisturizer, into your facial oil, whatever you use, and that will give you a little bit of vitamin C that will be good for the skin. Similarly, there's some other oils like the rosehip, carrot, apricot kernel that has vitamin A. That's going to be really good for your skin. And then vitamin E is really important as well. So some wheat germ, hazelnut, rosehip as well. So I'm pretty sure rosehip has basically everything in it.
Yeah,
it's got your C, A, and E.
I used to use rosehip more. I should do that again.
Yeah, so it's quite nice. So normally I recommend, and even myself sometimes, I will put it on, like just slather my skin in some oil, and then leave it on for about 15 minutes, just so I know it's kind of soaking in some stuff, and then have a warm shower or warm cloth and then wash off. So obviously your skin doesn't stay too oily, and it's just nice to kind of...
oil mask.
Exactly. It's like an oil mask. Mm. It just gives your skin a little bit of a chance to like suck in some nutrients, and then you wash the oil off.
Yeah. Go on with your day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because some people do find it, especially in the mornings, a little bit challenging under makeup for us girls. Especially in the humidity here in Hong Kong.
Some people don't love using oil if their skin's a little bit oily, but sometimes the oil itself, it's weird. It will actually help, you know, strip out the oil.
No, I agree. People that have oily skin don't need to be afraid of oil, especially oil cleansers. And you can definitely still use oil products. It's a different, especially people with acne skin, they're drying their faces out so much, and that in return creates inflammation for the acne, which is... yeah, a vicious cycle.
Exactly. And so then the last tip will probably be just some minerals and the nutrients that are really going to support skin. So something along with vitamin C that's very good for the structure of the skin and the collagen production is silica. And maybe not everyone is aware, but it is just like a mineral, like magnesium and zinc. But silica is found in some specific plants. So bamboo. So some of these, if you do see a vegan collagen supplement, like it will not contain collagen.
Yeah.
So it will normally be something that's formulated to boost it as well. So normally they might contain like bamboo powder and things that will contain silica. So if you do see the bamboo on there, that's probably why.
Okay.
And there are some other things like zinc and magnesium that will support it as well, but the silica is the main one. So you can take things like spirulina, which is very nutrient dense. It's also got some protein and omega-3s, which are going to be really good for you. Your leafy greens, so like spinach, kale, celery, cucumber, whatever it's going to be. It's hydrating, it's nutrient dense, it's going to give you all those benefits. And then some specific teas that are really good to drink, specifically for minerals and silica, is nettle, raspberry leaf, and horsetail. So basically you can just brew them up, simmer boil them for a little bit, and then strain it. You could even cool it and then just drink your water like that throughout the day anyways, but it's just going to boost up your water content essentially as well.
So what does silica do?
So silica is something
for the skin.
So silica is needed for the production of collagen as well.
Oh, okay.
But it helps a little bit with the scaffolding or helping keep things like tight.
In that bundle together. You were talking about at the beginning about the amino acids and the minerals.
Yes.
Silica is one of those ones that help it.
Exactly.
Okay, but it's a vegan thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't need to eat animals to get your silica.
Nice.
Yes. Okay. But yeah, these are the top kind of ones, I guess, if you want to try and boost your silica intake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much all of my tips, really, to help support your skin. So hopefully you guys found that helpful.
Yeah. I want to ask, what do you think of collagen creams? And I often... hear that sometimes the molecules are too big, when skincare has collagen in it, or even the collagen powders, like taken orally, that, I don't know, there's a lot of conflicting research and evidence out there if it's actually helping or, yeah.
Yes.
What
I have
do
to say,
you think?
Just from like clinical review and seeing people who do take collagen orally, I definitely do think you absorb it because you do see a difference, and it can be quite quick really when you do take collagen, up to a few days or a few weeks anyways in the appearance. Topically, I'm not sure really how much you would absorb. It is a little bit different to the digestive tract.
Definitely,
And I don't really know too much of the research how well the collagen would be absorbed by the skin, but I don't think it would be a lot, to be honest, because it is...
Yeah, I don't think it's much.
Yeah, just thinking of the structure and its composition.
Exactly. They often, I've read that the molecule is too big to penetrate into the skin and actually cause some
and it would also
effect.
Be up to the formulation as well. Like maybe it's made in a certain way to make it a little bit more absorbable. But yeah, I'm not too sure about it topically.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I know you mentioned the LED masks and the light therapy. That is another thing. But I also just want to like mention and say that there is other in clinic treatments that can help boost collagen, I would say, if you're talking less about what to eat and put on your skin, more about treatments you can get done, things like microneedling and lasers are a way to, we call it collagen induction therapy, where it's like creating micro traumas to the skin and then in return forcing your skin to make some more of it.
Exactly. It's like a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I've been hurt. And then it produces a bit more to help try and repair from that.
Yeah.
So yeah, acupuncture or the microneedling.
The microneedling, is one of the most safest and researched ways. Microneedling, if you get it done quite regularly in clinic, they can do it much stronger than you can do at home with the rollers. You have to be very careful with those home microneedling tools. But that will help alongside with your LED mask. You can use that at the same time.
A little bit more painful than the
A little bit
light
more. The one at home is like nothing, but the one in the... that one doesn't hurt at all, but it's also very tiny and people can do it wrong and get infections and things.
Potentially,
the one
yes.
in the clinic hurts.
Yes. Yeah, so definitely be prepared.
I've had it done once. It hurts. And I was on a low setting because I don't have like acne scars to reduce, but it was just for, induction of collagen, and yeah, Botox was easier than that.
Yes, but it is a good option.
It is.
Definitely think about that.
Yeah, it really is. So we did have a question from the audience asking us about sugar, and is sugar bad for collagen? I'm going to say probably yes. Sugar's bad in any way you look at it. Mm-hmm. I know we do need a little bit of sugar for our brains to work and things, but definitely not as much as what we all probably eat.
Exactly. I used to work with a practitioner and sugar was called white death. So
white death.
I was like, oh, okay.
Interesting.
Exactly. Very, very strong opinion. However, I mean, again, like I was saying before, in our diet, like, we have our carbohydrates and there's many different types of carbs. So fiber is actually a type of carbohydrate, technically. It's just something that we can't really digest and our bacteria eat it and produce good byproducts for our body. But sugar, when we're talking about like refined sugar that's basically been stripped of minerals, it's very obviously like calorie rich and a lot of sugar. And unfortunately, in our Western diet, it's very easy to get too much sugar in our diets. So
super easy.
Very easy. So when it comes to sugar being bad for collagen, it does stem from basically that inflammation and oxidative stress that can come from when you eat too much. So I don't like people being too afraid of like eating some fruit because it has some natural sugars in it. It is really more of like that really, those high calorie, low nutrient dense products that are very highly processed that are bad. And that's because it does increase the risk for things like diabetes and metabolic syndrome and excess fat storage, where we then create that increase in chronic inflammation and other issues that go along with that and the oxidative stress. And that's where it can put a burden on our bodies and increase those signs of aging and therefore, yeah, can deplete the body
of collagen.
Yeah. And then we get, yeah, increased aging, so wrinkles.
Yeah.
So.
So yes. Really, we all knew the answer, right? We just wanted some hope that exactly. Sugar would be okay, but it's not.
Yes.
It's not.
No, but that's where we can find some other sweet treats that are a little bit better
definitely.
For our health.
Definitely, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's all we have time for today, but I want to do just a little fire round of some...
Ooh, just sure.
A little, like, fun, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's go. So, what did you have for breakfast?
I had a protein smoothie with blueberries and flaxseed and oats.
Okay, flaxseed notes, yeah. Your favorite coffee shop in Hong Kong?
Blue Bottle.
Oh my God.
Or Found. I like them both.
Did you see me on my stories? I went there the other day.
Oh, no.
And I put on my stories.
Okay.
Having overpriced coffee, but the view's nice.
Can I say that as well? I was upset they just increased their coffee by $5.
Did they?
Yeah. My favorite one's their Mocha, but...
2022, you got to increase your prices, everybody. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the coffee was fine. The view is nice, but the price, I don't know.
No.
Coffee's expensive.
Found has a loyalty card. I'm going to do a little plug. They have a loyalty card so you can get your 10th one free. Just saying, Blue Bottle does not offer a loyalty card.
Okay, this is meant to be a fire round. What was the last skincare product that you bought?
It was a skincare product that's made by my friend who's a practitioner called Gianna. She makes her own moisturizer, so I buy it from her.
Okay.
It's all natural.
We'll leave her link down below, maybe. And the last book that you read?
Oh, it was by Sarah Gottfield. It's a woman's hormone book. So it's all about women's hormones and diet and the ketogenic diet and how to tailor make it better for women and and hormones.
Yeah, I know,
boring. It's my nerdy book.
No, there's a lot of areas of your field that you're working that you have big interest in.
Yeah, lots of women that have menstrual problems, so you've got to help support that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll leave it down below so we get the name right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Gottfield or Gottfried? We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. Find out down below. So thank you for coming on the show.
That's right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I think it's not so bad for your first podcast.
No, it's just like a little convo. It's great.
Little convo. That's our Australian...
Yeah, conversation. Yeah,
conversation. In Australia, we tend to shorten everything, so we say convo.
Yeah. Yeah. Arvo.
Arvo. Yeah. It's just our...
Avo.
Avo. Yep. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Thanks,
thank you.
Guys.
Thanks. And we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. You can find details on everything I mentioned on the blog, The Beauty Talk. I'll leave a link below for this episode's post. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the newsletter so every episode is delivered directly into your inbox. That way you'll never miss an episode. I'd love to hear from you and see what you think of the episode. You can follow me on Instagram at Letitia Bishop, or I have a private Facebook group, which you'll also find a link for down below. Please don't forget to subscribe on any of the top podcasting platforms like Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. If you liked this show, please send some love by writing a review, and I'll see you in the next one.